Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, The Work We Do in the Meantime. We'll also have music from the Sanctuary Choir. So join us now from Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Matthew 28:16-20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Our second lesson is taken from the first chapter of Acts, beginning at the first verse. Again, let's listen to God's word to us. Luke writes, "In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. And let us pray. Lord, we would pray now that this word, living and true, might become so for us. I would pray the blessing on the words that I speak and the words that we hear and the meditations that we take from this place, that all might be to your honor and glory. For we pray it through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I wish I could say that I was intentional in planning it this way, but will confess I was not at all. Last Sunday, we finished our nearly six-month study of the Gospel of John, and next Sunday is Pentecost, the day when we will remember and celebrate the outpouring, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which leaves us with this open Sunday between. Now, curiously, the disciples found themselves in very much the same situation with kind of a gap period, which we read about in our lesson from Acts this morning. After the resurrection, Luke, the author of this book, writes that Jesus appeared among his disciples for another 40 days, performing other convincing proofs and speaking about the kingdom of God before he then ascended into heaven. And at that point, the disciples are given a very specific instruction not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which we know was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, a mere 10 days from now, or at least 10 days later. But they were not aware of the timing of that. So all of which begs the question, what do we do in the meantime? Now, the same question can be asked of us individually and as a Christian church. What do we do in the meantime between Christ's first appearance and his second coming? Also, a promise which is outstanding, which has been given to us. What is it that God intends us to do? What is it that God intends us to be in this gap period? Our lesson from Acts this morning gives some very clear guidance. I can only imagine that those disciples, after the resurrection and after having been given the great commission of our Lord, go and make disciples of all nations, were fired up and ready to go. But in our lesson this morning, we hear a very counterintuitive instruction which Jesus gives to them for them to wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father has been fulfilled. So here we see the first calling to the early church and to the church then and now. Wait and pray. Wait and pray for God to move, for God to act, for God to do His work before we attempt to do our work. This seemingly non-productive instruction is a clear reminder to us that the church is more than a mere human institution. It is a divine gift of God. Give us a task to do, a challenge to face, we'll put our best minds to it, our best people to it, our best resources to it, and we are convinced that we can make something happen. And oftentimes we do. But the first act of the church, then and now, is one of waiting and praying for the empowerment of God. We're waiting for God's leading, for God's discernment, for God's direction. Now, admittedly, this is a difficult instruction for us, isn't it? In our over-programmed, hurry up, impatient way of life and of doing things, where time is measured in milliseconds and it seems like an eternity for our computers to boot up. And yet waiting and praying is our first calling. As one has put it, our waiting implies that the things that need doing in the world are beyond our ability to do them solely by our own efforts or programs or crusades. Some other empowerment is needed, and so we as the church must learn to wait and pray. So in the midst of hearing that instruction, the disciples ask, perhaps impatiently, when the Holy Spirit is given, is this the time when the kingdom will be restored to Israel? Is this the time, Lord, when the kingdom of God will come in its fullness? And the question is a good one. It's a natural one. For centuries, faithful Jews, people of faith, had been anticipating the coming of the kingdom of God. John the Baptist had announced the coming of the one who would usher in that kingdom. Jesus himself said, "The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is near. It is within you." And so it only makes sense that the disciples would think, "Promised Messiah has come. Let's get on with it then." Bear in mind, at this point in the story, the disciples were still thinking in political terms. The coming of the kingdom of God meant the restoration of the authority, the power, the glory of ancient Israel, and the ousting of these Roman oppressors. But Jesus' answer to them was, "It is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority." Friends, keep that teaching in mind the next time you find yourself or hear someone else trying to read the tea leaves of the times in order to figure out when Christ is going to return. Not unlike the message that Jesus gave to Peter in our lesson last week. Recall when Peter was so concerned, "So what about John?" Basically, here Jesus is saying, you know, this time of the return is really none of your business. Don't worry about that. The Father clearly has a plan in mind. And so the disciples were instructed first simply to wait and pray. Wait and pray before launching into their best laid plans. A message perhaps we and the church needs to hear still today. But then Jesus gives those faithful followers a promise and a purpose for their waiting. In the 8th verse, we read, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This is God's intention, that he was intending his disciples to be his worldwide missionaries, not his end-time visionaries. He was sending the Holy Spirit to establish the church as the people of God and to empower them then to be his witnesses of the good news of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. In our more cynical moments, we can look around us and say with Alfred Loisy, "Jesus came proclaiming the kingdom of God, and what came was the church." And yet, cast in a more positive light, we can see that this was exactly God's intention. Jesus had selected and trained his disciples as his followers, and now God was preparing them to send them out as his witnesses to the whole world through the power of the Holy Spirit. We hear evidence of that and see evidence of that still today as missionaries, as witnesses go out from this place around the world. The church was being called into being and commissioned to carry on the ministry of Jesus Christ in word and in deed. That is our purpose for being. The primary task of the church in every time and place is to bear witness to the lordship of Jesus Christ over all of life. We have a unique role to play. We have a unique role to play in the drama of salvation history. That just as the prophets of old announced the promised coming of Messiah, so our task is to tell that he has indeed come and of his presence continuing to be with us still. We who live in this interim period between Christ's first incarnation and his second, between the Easter day and the day of his promised return, when he will bring all of history to completion and fulfill the promises of the coming of the kingdom of God, we who live in this interim period have been called to be his witnesses. Everything we say and do should work to that given end if we are to call ourselves a Christian church. I will remind you of the central line in Tab's mission statement. It's printed on the inside of your service of worship this morning. We are called by God, led by faith in Jesus Christ, and empowered by the Holy Spirit to demonstrate the kingdom of God through worship, discipleship, and outreach. So how do we understand our responsibilities, our opportunities to bear witness to the lordship of Jesus Christ? The answer we give to that question strikes at the very heart of our reason for being as individuals and as a church. We may not often think of the Book of Order, that is the constitution of the Presbyterian Church, this book of government and discipline, as being a source of great theology. But in fact, it is. At the very beginning, it states the great ends of the church. The great ends of the church, the reason for our being, is the proclamation of the gospel for the salvation of humankind, the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the children of God, the maintenance of divine worship, the preservation of the truth, the promotion of social righteousness, and the exhibition of the kingdom of heaven to the world. We used that statement today as our affirmation of faith. That is the reason we exist as a church. That is the reason we've been called into being. In 1831, Reverend John Holt, who was then the moderator of the Presbyterian Church, addressed that gathered assembly by saying, "The Presbyterian Church is a missionary society, the object of which is to aid in the conversion of the world and every member of said society is bound in the maintenance of their Christian character to do all in their power for the accomplishment of that object. We have been called into being to be a missionary society. This is our great end, to be witnesses to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our places of business or recreation or study. Those who envisioned the role and the responsibility of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church as they spoke of our role in this community, in this neighborhood, spoke of us as being a light for Christ in the greater metropolitan community. And how will that be accomplished? Through the likes of you and me. By being who we are as members of the body of Christ, each of us and all of us, using the gifts that God has given us by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. I will confess to you, it's very easy for the church to get sidetracked from our primary purpose. It's very easy for us to be seduced into thinking of ourselves as being a social fellowship designed for us to enjoy one another's company. Or even as a social action agency structured to address the needs of our community. Those are certainly aspects of our calling, but they are secondary, not primary. Our primary calling as the church is to be the witnesses to the Lordship of Jesus Christ by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And so we must see all of our other programs and activities as the means by which we serve our greater end, that of bearing witness. All of our worship, our fellowship, our service, our outreach, our teaching, our recreation are all designed to that end. And without question, the church has been called to be a transformation or a transformer of society. We must be involved and engaged in finding solutions to the ills and the conflicts that face us as a community and as a society. Moments ago, we prayed for the horrific events in Uvalde, Texas. These should motivate us out of our pure love for Christ to do something beyond just praying for innocent victims or families or communities, and to use our best efforts and influence to affect change for the betterment of all, particularly for our youngest. We have been called to be salt and light and leaven in our society and in our world. And yet we must also realize that our greatest impact on society may not come by what we do, but by who we are. Our doing arises out of our being. I was thinking earlier this week that we in the church, we at TAB, have much to teach our nation and those who lead us about how we can get along with one another and actually do good work together despite our very differences. And again, that not because of what we do or because of who we are, but because of whose we are. If we, the church, if we are going to have our desired impact on reforming and transforming the world socially, we must be certain to maintain and deepen our roots spiritually. For that is uniquely who we are as the Church of Jesus Christ. A people called by God, set apart by God, empowered by God's Spirit to bear witness to Jesus Christ in the coming of his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Now, bear in mind, that doesn't mean that we should just rush out there and start chasing after our latest, greatest ideas on what we think we need to do to fix what ails us. Remember, Jesus' first instruction to his disciples were wait and pray. Wait and pray for the inspiration, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit before we go out and do. And we would do well to heed that very same advice. So let us commit ourselves to the work of waiting and praying so that we will then be readied and enabled for the work of being his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, in Mapleton Fall Creek, in Indianapolis, in Indiana, and so to the ends of the earth, all to the honor and glory of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we are humbled that you would call even the likes of us to enter into your family, to be called by your name, and then to be empowered to do the work you have called us and given us to do. Lord, we pray that you would use us, even us, in the work of your kingdom. You've called us to be your witnesses. Witnesses not to our way of thinking, our way of living, but witnesses to you, ambassadors of your truth. Lord, use us this day, this week, this month, this year, this life, to live into that high calling, all to your honor and glory. For this we have the privilege of praying in Jesus' name. Lord, hear our prayer.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the Tab podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.
Kick off your summer excitement at the 2022 Tab Jams Concert Series. Experience the return of NBC's winner of The Voice, Mr. Josh Kaufman, along with singer, actress, and Sunday's best contestant, legendary Miss Opal Staples. Sunday, June 12th, 6 p.m. at the Tab Presbyterian Church, 418 East 34th Street, Indianapolis, Indiana. All concerts are free and open to the public. Bring a lawn chair and meet some new friends at the 2022 Tab Jams Concert Series. Building a strong community through music.
Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis, invites you to worship on Sunday at 8 and 10 a.m. If you can't join us in person, listen to Sunday with Tab, Sunday mornings at 6:30, right here on WIBC.